Hi guys, hi listeners. Thank you for tuning in for a new episode of Worlds Collide. I am glad that you're here. So in today's episode, my guest is Deanna, and she's originally from Canada, but she lives more than two decades now in Australia. Like a long time ago, she got a work and travel visa to travel the country. I mean, Australia with the country. But she got a little bit distracted on the way. And yeah, let's find out what happened. And she will tell us her story. But also, we talk about why Australians drive on the other side of the road. And I will tell you that later in the episode, towards the end. Actually, there was an article in the news about it just like the other day. So yeah, I found out why, because we were wondering. I just wanted to give you a short heads up for that. Yeah, but here is Deanna's story, and enjoy. Hi, Deanna. Thank you for being on my podcast. How are you today?
I'm great, Victoria. Thank you. And thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So where are you calling from?
I am in Anna Bay, New South Wales, Australia.
Is that close to Sydney or?
We're about 2.5-3 hours from Sydney.
Uh-huh.
So, and we're right on the coast.
Oh, nice. And how long have you been there?
I've been here 20 years in Anna Bay and 26 in total in Australia.
Oh, wow. Such a long time.
Yes.
And so, where are you from originally?
Toronto, Canada.
Oh, wow. I mean, yeah. Weather-wise, big difference.
Yes, very big.
Yeah. And also very far. How long is the flight, if I may ask?
About 19 hours.
Okay. So it's a long stretch.
It is.
And what brought you to Australia?
I initially came here on a one-year working holiday visa. Yeah, and I met my now ex-husband, but we're friends. And,
okay.
very amicable split. Ended up meeting him, falling in love, ended up staying, and we were together 12 years.
Okay.
So, yes. Yeah. And it was funny because I asked him if he wanted to move to Canada, and that was a hard no.
Oh, really? Yeah. Why is that?
He doesn't do snow very well.
Oh, well. You get used to it, right? And was that for you like a hard decision to move to Australia?
No, not really. Because I kind of agree with the ex. I was over the snow. And the winters were much more tolerable here. There was no snow to shovel.
But back then, after that 1 year, did you have to go back to Canada and then you had like a long distance relationship for a time, or did you just completely stay?
Completely stayed. We were very fortunate with immigration. Back in the 90s, I believe they were probably a bit more lax with it than they are now. But Peter and I got married after 10 months.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
Just before the visa ran out. And according to immigration, that was a long courtship to them.
Oh, was it?
So we had our interview and they're like, wow, you guys have been together 10 months. And we said, look, we were going to go to Canada, but this was the holdup. And, you know, we'd like to stay here. And yeah, I got my permanent residency visa, I think about 2 years after.
Okay.
Because you have to go for medicals and everything when you're going through permanent residency. So, and then you're not allowed to leave. They keep you here essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
Until they make their decision.
Okay. How old were you then?
27, 28.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so you already studied or you already worked before? Was it like a hard decision not to go back to your previous life?
It was easier for me to stay here than go back to Canada because at that point, as you mentioned, I'd had a job. I was working for IKEA at the time. I was their import manager.
Okay.
So I did the importation and distribution of all of their furniture into the IKEA stores. Mm-hmm. Good money. Just a good way of life. Mm-hmm. And I'd been out of Canada at that point, I think, for about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I felt it would actually be harder to go home and reestablish myself when I was already established in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so fairly easy decision.
Yeah, but do you remember, what did your parents say when you just said like, oh, I met someone, I'm not coming back?
yeah, Because I actually married Peter without my parents meeting him.
Uh-huh.
So if they'd had, you know, phone conversations and such. So it was tough. They handled it okay.
Uh-huh.
And we went home 99. So he met the family about 9 months after we had married.
Okay. I mean, there's always the option of getting a divorce and moving back, right?
Whereas, you know, Peter's parents initially thought that I was just marrying him to stay in Australia. And I was kind of like, hey, wait a minute. Maybe he's marrying me to get to Canada.
Could be too.
It's not a bad country, you know. So I look at it as I've got the best of both hemispheres.
What was hard to get used to Australia in the beginning?
Oh, the heat. Mm-hmm. For one, even though I like the heat, it's a very humid heat.
Yeah.
Not that I'd experienced in Canada. The accents were pretty hard as well. Because everybody is Australian, but depending where they're from, their accents can be a bit different. Mm-hmm. So while I could understand Peter talking fine, he could have a mate where I'm just like looking at Peter saying, what is he saying?
Uh-huh. So even though everybody speaks English though, right?
Yes, exactly. But with the Canadian accent, they think I'm American and everybody can understand me.
Yeah, so. Exactly. But did it ever bother you that people always assumed that you were from the US?
Yes. I mean, I've got a lot of American friends and, you know, I love them, but it's infuriating. You know, what part of America are you from? So I would answer the Canadian parts.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'd just say, you know, I hope you're just going alphabetically because Canadians get offended.
Mm-hmm.
More easily than Americans when we're mistaken.
I guess, yes. So, I mean, it's also like the population of Canadians is like so very little in comparison to the US.
Yes.
And the accent is really similar too.
It is. I mean, in all honesty, unless they're from, you know, border towns like New York or Detroit, you know, I can't tell.
Yeah.
Or like the South I can, but if they're really close to Toronto where I grew up,
sure,
I wouldn't be able to tell.
Yeah, you know? I don't.
They sound Canadian is what I like to think. Right. I don't sound American.
Yeah, I don't hear it either. I mean, I can hear it from, if they have like a strong accent from like the New York accent or the Southern, but anything else sounds exactly the same to me.
And yet I can hear different dialects in Australia with the accent, so it's funny.
Uh-huh.
I always sit there and say I don't have the accent, the whole country does,
but you have a little bit of an accent. You picked it up a little bit, right?
A little bit, yeah, but the Australians will disagree with you on that.
I'm sure. Yeah. Yes, I mean, you have a slight
twang.
Yes. That's a good way of saying it.
I had a cousin say it was a South Pacific accent. That's what he said, because he couldn't put his thumb on it either. He was a pilot, and he flew into Sydney. So I got to see a cousin there, and that's what he said about my accent. He said, it's not quite Australian, Canadian. So he said, I'm just going to call it South Pacific.
Oh, okay. I'll take that. Sure, that works. That works. Do you remember how it was settling in back then?
Different.
Because also, I think when you met Peter then, it was like different than what you had planned. You probably wanted to travel the country.
Yes.
Did you do that?
No. I did eventually, which we can get to, but not initially, no.
Okay.
So, I mean, settling in, Australia and Canada are very similar. We're both Commonwealth countries, but mm-hmm. just other things can be different. Just the way that they do things like renting, whether it was property rentals, medical, just difference there. Wages, the wages are higher here, but the cost of living is higher. I remember I took a job in a pub and I was being paid like 20 some odd dollars an hour, where in Canada you'd be on like $6-7 plus tips.
Mm-hmm.
That's just it. They don't tip you here.
Big difference.
So what you make. Yeah. And then they have all these crazy rules that if I worked after midnight, I got a loading. So I went from like $20 to $25 an hour between midnight and 3 a.m. The bars are open 24 hours here, which was...
That was great at that age.
it was great. Yeah. So, yeah. After a few hangovers, that novelty wore off pretty quick.
Do you still do the weekly rent in Australia that you have to pay each week?
Oh, yes.
Because I also did the work and travel visa. I did it in 2002, but I traveled the whole country. I did not find a boyfriend that was from Australia.
Come back, I'll hook you up.
Okay. I'm okay right now. Thank you.
We'll go to the pub. But yeah, it's not monthly here. It is. It's weekly.
Yeah. I find this weird. I mean, I got it when it comes to a backpacking, you know, because like who knows like how long those tourists stay. But like for the permanent residents, it's kind of annoying to write a check every week.
Yeah. Yeah, and or at, back in that day, you know, there wasn't internet banking. So right. We'd have to literally go to the bank every week. We had a bank book with his details in it, and they would stamp it that the rent was paid.
Yeah. I don't remember
and
how
still,
we did it last.
Places ask for weekly.
Yeah. I remember like I had a super shitty shared apartment in Edgecliffe in Sydney.
Ooh, yeah.
And the rent was $35 a week. So it was super cheap, but we also were like, I think 10 people in like a 3-bedroom or something. But it was covered in cockroaches.
Yeah.
Did you get used to the cockroaches?
They're so big here. When I first saw one, I didn't realize it was a cockroach. what is that? I'm used to just the little ones that you get in Canada. Over the years, and I say since, you know, Peter and I split up, I've become very brave with the wildlife. Mm. I've been able to get huntsman spiders out of the house.
Right.
I've been able to stomp on a cockroach. But yeah, just everything. Yeah, when it comes to insects, everything's just on steroids down here. It's insane.
It's big, yeah. I know. Everything is
like I said,
big.
I saw that first one. I was like, what is that? I'm like, it's a cockroach. I can't be a cockroach. It's so big.
And you have to, exactly, the spiders. Yep. And they always come in pairs, right?
I know. Oh. And you got to be careful because if you squish them, if they're pregnant, you get other little ones. I mean, looking up now, I can tell you I've got daddy long legs 1 and 2 in my corners just because they're supposedly the badass spiders. So they just
daddy long legs are fine.
Yeah, I just leave them up there in case something comes in, they can kill it.
They can eat it, yes. They're like happy, woohoo, dinner.
So, yeah, it's my daughter's like, just vacuum them. Like, no, they're good. They're just leave them. So, they're the only ones I won't kill is the daddy long legs.
And then you guys stayed in Sydney?
Well, you were in Edgecliffe. I was in Manly.
Okay. Yes. Nice area.
I was actually in Queenscliff Harbour area, but I don't know if you've been to Manly, but I worked at the Manly Stein, bartended there. And we stayed there till 2000, and then we moved up here to Port Stephens. Rent was just getting expensive in Sydney, and what was it, like $230 a week maybe back then for the apartment, and we could get a, you know, 2-bedroom house with backyard and everything up here for $190 a week.
Sure.
So, Yeah. That's when we came up.
Yeah.
And haven't looked back. No, I hate going to Sydney now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm just used to all the space here, I think.
Just because it also, big city. You don't like big cities anymore.
No, not anymore.
Yeah. Okay.
Not, but, you know, I get 800 meters from the beach here, you know.
Nice.
Yeah.
That sounds really lovely. So how did your lifestyle change?
Well, we moved up here, and I actually kept working in Sydney till I could find work up here. That was a bit of a pain because it's about a 2-hour train ride. And Peter at the time was doing his electrical apprenticeship. But I lucked out. I actually ended up getting a job as an online moderator and ended up started working from home.
Oh, which back in the day.
Yeah, which allowed me to travel if I wanted to. And I didn't have to travel down to Sydney, but I could travel around Australia, go overseas, which I did, and just continue working like that. So, yeah. But
you were like one of the first who did that.
Yes.
Nice. I was.
Yeah. The company's still going, but I don't think they've laid off a lot of people. So I know some moderators that are still there that I started with. And hopefully they'll keep their jobs. But yeah, I think it's slowly imploding. So I don't want to say too much about who it is. But yeah.
It's okay.
But the moderation job was perfect. So, just settled in here nicely. I mean, you know, had my daughter Mackenzie, who's 16 now, and I remember her about 2 or 3 asking me when she'd get her Canadian accent.
Never.
But funny enough, before she went to preschool, she actually needed to see a speech pathologist.
Okay.
And apparently she had fronting issues on some of the words that she would say. And I kind of said, is it because of me? And they didn't really say no. So I'm not sure if my accent, along with her Aussie accent that she's picking up at preschool, kind of muddled her a bit. But when she was first learning new words, there was time I couldn't understand her. I'm like, what? I said, shoe, mom. Shoe. You wear it on your foot. And you're like, oh, okay. Sorry.
Okay. How is it different, like the school system in Australia to Canada? And how was it for you to get into that?
It's very different. The schools here are so open. They're not like the typical high schools that I was used to in Canada, which I remember Canada is ready for the winter, where the Australian winter isn't as brutal. And just the way they do things. I mean, I remember in Canada that, you know, before school started, I could go to the school and the class list would be up and you'd know who your teacher was and who you'd be in class with. Mm-hmm. But no, not here. They like to throw them all in together for about a week before they tell you who their teacher is and what class they're going to be in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm still not sure.
So like it had to be like more complicated for you as the mother to understand the system.
And I didn't understand why she couldn't walk home for lunch. They said I'd have to write a note or I'd have to sign her out every day. And I'm kind of like, but in Canada, I could go home for lunch because I live close enough. Why would I pack her lunch if she could come home for a fresh one? I mean, some Canadians will understand this. And I was just frustrated that I had to send my kid to school with a packed lunch when I would have preferred her to come home. I guess the other difference at the school is they had a canteen, which I didn't have in elementary school. Mm-hmm. High school, yes, but not elementary. Mm-hmm. And different to what I remember in elementary school.
Yeah. I mean, also, yeah. I mean, sure, times change, but also, yeah, I mean, they do it in their own way.
You got to learn their way because, you know.
Exactly.
They won't do it my way. I've tried.
Yeah, probably not.
I've had those conversations. It just doesn't work.
You're the minority there.
But overall, I'm impressed with the school system. At one point, I thought the Australian kids were out of school more than the Canadian kids. But I actually sat down and calculated the Canadian, just, you know, pedantic I am, the Canadian holidays and the Australian holidays. And it turns out, I think the Canadians were out by one day. And I think it was probably Thanksgiving that put it over the line.
Okay. But then they have the exact same days of schooling.
Yeah, pretty much.
So yeah, but you have the break is just at a different time, right?
Because exactly.
Your summer is over Christmas. You have your long summer holidays then?
Yeah. They'll finish around mid-December where Canadian elementary, as far as I remember, last week of June. And they're not going back till about the first week of September, where the Aussies are out, say, about the 20th of June. They're back in by Feb 1st.
Right. So was it always spend summer in winter kind of thing sometimes? Do you visit your family for Christmas in Canada?
I did. The last time I was home for a Christmas would have been 2009. And I haven't been back for winter. I think the thing that frustrated us is that it was a family trip, but Mackenzie was 2 years old and a toddler in the snow with the snow pants and all that. You're just like, no. It wasn't so much the cold. It was just, wow, thank God we don't have to do this in Australia. You know, got to put on
all the clothes.
Yeah.
And then they get fuzzy because it gets wet.
Yeah. Don't eat the yellow snow, you know. But the one thing I do miss about Canada, and it hasn't changed in the 26 years I've been here, is Christmas is still hard for me.
Right, because it's weird.
Exactly. It's not a family thing. I can, with technology, I can Zoom them or, you know, there's no snow.
You know, I know, it's in the middle of the summer. I remember that too, because it was such a, I don't know, it was so different. So it just left such a deep memory. I remember that fake, huge, colorful Christmas tree at Darling Harbor. And it was, I mean, it was ginormous, but it was like, it's hot, it's fake, it has all the colors. It's, and I don't know, it's just nothing of the tradition that I'm used to.
Yeah. And people put up Christmas lights and it's just not the same because it's supposed to be reflecting on snow. You know what I mean? You drive by, you know, get the little twinkle reflection off the snow. And Santa, he like wears no clothes down here. He's in a tank top and a pair of shorts. You know, just that's not the Santa I know.
Yeah, that's not Christmas. Come on.
And being Canadian, I remember my parents giving me a bike for Christmas. And it's like, really? It's December. I can't ride this thing till the snow melts, you know?
Yeah.
But here, and it's Christmas dinner is on the barbecue. And it's like, no. That's just, no. It's got to be a turkey out of the oven, you know? I don't want a shrimp on the barbie, mate. I want a turkey out of the oven. Yeah,
but it's too hot for the oven.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you know we did Christmas in July here, though, to get away to do that kind of wintery thing? Yeah.
No, is this a new thing or?
I've seen it.
Did you always do that?
I haven't done it myself, but I know the clubs and stuff will put on Christmas in July and they will do a turkey dinner, like a set menu. And so you can have your, but it's still not cold. You're still looking at what, maybe 12 Celsius for your Christmas in July. But yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah. So, I mean, the thing that the Australians and Canadians can't comprehend is, you know, now that I'm in the southern hemisphere, everything is different. So yes, we get snow in Australia, but you got to go south for the snow. Where in Canada, you go north.
Right, and that north.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, we do get snow here, just not where I'm situated. And if I want it, I need to head south down towards Victoria, Melbourne.
Did you ever get used to the traffic that it's coming from the left?
I was surprised by that. I went into the road traffic authority and, you know, hi, I had the international license as they did back then. I showed them my Canadian. They're like, okay, just do a road test, a computer road test. And you're like, yep, okay. And they're like, okay. I didn't have to do a road test, which I thought was insane because I'm going from left-hand drive to right-hand drive. And automatic, I was okay. Manual. Because I have to shift with the left hand here, kind of.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But on the feet, it's the same,
right? The same. Yeah. But the gears are a bit different. They're the same, but they're just where first is in Canada. It's closest to me, but it's furthest from me here, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Yep. I drive automatic, by the way. But and as embarrassing as this is, if I'm in my own little world, I have gone to the passenger side of the door thinking as the driver I was going to go in and drive, so I sometimes will revert back to left-hand drive. I just, so my daughter
is sometimes super confused.
Daughter's learning to drive now and it's like, no. We pay her we pay a
lessons. Somebody. Mm-hmm.
You don't want to learn from the Canadian who had to convert here,
so, right?
Yeah.
Did you ever end up in the wrong side of the traffic?
Once leaving a petrol station. I think it was at Crow's Nest. So just on the outskirts there, Sydney. And I just kind of put my hand up like, sorry. And just back into the petrol station. And
I guess they're used to it because there are so many tourists, right?
Yeah. And like I said, the thing, you know, when you're going for your Australian license is that they just hand it to you. You know, in Canada, we had no roundabouts or anything. And they're just like, hey, no, go nuts. Here's your new license. And for the first little while, if I got caught speeding, I would just turn over my Canadian license. Because back then, they can't enforce it. So I wasn't doing insane speeds. I got done doing about 17 over. Oh, I don't know. I'm visiting from Canada. Here's my Canadian license. Oh, well, we can't give you a ticket on this because we can't enforce it. And you're like, yeah, I know. So, and then once that expired, I slowed down a little bit.
You had to.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's a good way out.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. And when you go back to Canada, do you know which way to look?
I just look every way now. up, down, left, right, behind. I try and do it 360. Last time I was in Canada, I was sitting there talking to someone. I was reaching for my left shoulder, looking for my seatbelt, and they're like, it's on your right shoulder. Yeah. Or the big one, you probably understand this. You go to turn the corner and the windshield wipers come on.
Because
your indicators. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I've done that a few times over there when I go back.
Do you know why this is? I mean, I know that's because probably the British who came first, and it's, but do you know why the Brits drive on the other side of the road?
No, just to be difficult, I think, you know, something to annoy the Yanks, but us Canadians got caught in the crossfire.
Yes, but yes.
Because there's not too many countries that are on, oh no, because Europe's left or right? Left.
Right.
Right.
No, only Britain is.
Okay.
Only the UK, and then everything else is on the right.
Yeah.
And I don't know about South Africa.
I haven't been there. I've been to Saudi Arabia. They're the same, but they're just maniacs on the road.
Uh-huh.
They're the same. Yeah, my brother lives there. So, yeah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, New Zealand, Australia, Britain. And you said, I don't know about South Africa, which they're on.
I don't know. Just check all the Commonwealth countries.
Yeah, I think Jamaica might be as well.
I don't know.
Anyway, it's if you've never done it, it's fun to try. Yeah. Driving on the other side of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Get out there in the traffic and just go nuts and put your windscreen wipers on when you're turning left.
Sure. Yes. Or the other way around, put your blinkers on if you just want the rain gone. Yeah. Is there still something after all this time that you don't get? Or was there anything that took you some time?
I'm pretty settled now, but there are some things that will still get to me. I go into McDonald's and I'll say, can I have some fries and can I have some ketchup? Oh, you mean tomato sauce?
Oh, yes. Okay.
If you know I meant tomato sauce, why did you correct me? Because just they feel the need to correct you if you're, you know, that still. Yeah.
Okay. They do that? Bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, well, that's annoying. I understand that.
Yeah. Like your hair, you want to get your bangs cut. Here it's fringe.
Hmm.
So, yeah. But like I said, the most annoying thing is that correction, that if whether it's sauce or something else, I can't think of off the top of my head where they've got one word for it and we've got another. If I revert to the North American way of doing it, they correct me. It's, no.
Okay, but even they know it.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
So, and then you point out to them when you do get the packet of tomato sauce, it says ketchup on it anyway at McDonald's.
Right.
You know? I'm sorry. Just these things that'll drive me where it's like, you guys drive me nuts, you know?
Yeah.
There's still accents that I don't understand. When you asked if I had traveled for my 50th birthday, I packed up my little 4-cylinder car and drove from Annabelle all the way up to Darwin. So I was going through some rough towns.
Okay.
And, yeah. People are taught. And again, you're sorry. What? And you're just agreeing with them. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just Canada. And after that, you just, yeah. My daughter and I went out to a place called Pubs in the Scrub. It's just these pubs in the middle of nowhere. And it's kind of like, she was about 8. I'm like, come on, we're going. Just as the women, we didn't feel safe there.
Yeah.
It was probably fine, but.
Do you think it's just you, because you're from Canada, that you don't understand? Does your daughter understand them?
She didn't come on that road trip. It was a great.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. That's a good question. I think it just might be me and my ear is not trained for all the dialects. But so, and the other thing that still gets me is I was at the pub on the weekend and a friend says, oh, you know, you can stop that Canadian accent now. You've been here long enough.
Oh, okay. I guess you don't do this on purpose. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the one thing Mackenzie likes is that she can always hear her mother in the crowd because my, you know.
Yeah.
And they'll tell me that I'm loud, and it's not that I'm loud. It's I just stick out more because I don't have the Australian accent.
Right.
So.
Okay.
But yeah, it's overall, it's, you know, obviously great because I've stayed here for so long. But I mean, I love the lifestyle. It's very casual and relaxed. I, I guess it's the same as Canada, but if I had to, you know, pick a winner, I'd say the Australians are more relaxed and the Canadians are always like, she'll be right, mate. And, you know, and
sure.
And they're very helpful, just like the Canadians. And yeah.
Earlier, I was thinking, like, what are the Australians like? I mean, in comparison to Canadians, because Canadians already have the reputation to be the friendliest people, but Australians don't have it any other way.
Did you find them friendly when you were here?
I didn't meet any.
Oh, because you were in the backpacker circles.
I was just in that crowd.
Yeah.
They don't have the reputation of being unfriendly or anything.
No. And, you know,
everything is like, hang loose. Yay. The sun is shining all the time. Like,
no worries, mate.
Exactly. Yeah. No worries, mate. That's the slang. That's the saying they have.
And they are like that. Like I said, if I had to pick it, you know, I'm Canadian, but the Aussies, I think, have them on that, just being more relaxed and more just, you know.
Yeah.
Easy come, easy go kind of thing. And so they drink a lot too.
And so I guess that already answers my question, if you would go back to Canada.
Look, I would. Mackenzie turns 17 this year, and we're in the process of doing her Canadian citizenship. I know my brother did his when his son was born, and, you know, that's his choice. But we decided to wait until Mackenzie could ask for it. So she's asked for it. So look, she's going really well in hockey at the moment. So her getting her Canadian passport opens up another country where she can go and have a crack at it, as I would say. So I wouldn't say never. But if I do go back, I'll end up in Vancouver. I'm too lazy to do the 5 hours into Toronto. And it's just too cold there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little milder up there. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know Vancouver can get cold and it can snow, but this won't get as cold as Toronto. But I haven't been back in 10 years. But so hopefully soon. Well, life happens, you know.
But in Canada, can you have two citizenships?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I was just confused because you said your daughter waited until she...
She could have had it since birth as well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But, and I probably should have did that because the law changed. It's made it just a little bit more difficult. But, because we knew I would never take her there as a citizen, as a child, you know.
Right.
Even when her dad and I split up, it was always, you know, very amicable. I handed my passport... her passport over, and it's like she stays here because, again, I thought this was the better way of life for her to grow up.
Yeah.
So now that she's, you know, becoming a young adult, we're starting the process for her to get it now. And in fact, the Canadian government changed their law, I think it was 2016, that because Mackenzie's born to me, she cannot enter Canada on her Australian passport. Tried to get around it that when you apply for the visa online, that ITSA, whatever it is you're getting, it says, where was your mother born? The minute it says Canada, it locks her out. So, I went to the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade here in Australia saying this isn't right because her birth certificate says, you know, it's Australian, but now it's what the Canadian government's doing now.
Oh, this is so complicated.
Yeah. The other option was for me to renounce. And just so you know, if you want to renounce your Canadian citizenship, it costs you $500.
Yeah, but also maybe you don't want to do that either.
No, that was, exactly. I did look into it, and I think it was, if you Google it, because some people have just renounced it because they didn't want to go through the hassle, but they're asking for their kids now, for the children of Canadians abroad, if that makes sense. Yeah,
okay.
All the paperwork now, yeah. But so we've got her paperwork in, it's going to take about 8 to 9 months, and then she, you know, even for work, if she wants to go work there, because there's, you know, a lot of things that Canada has that Australia doesn't, like summer camps and stuff like that. They don't have that concept here. There's not many, we don't have that wilderness that Canada has. We've just got the dry outback, so you're not going to send a kid there.
But what do you do with the kids for that long of a time? I mean, like not everybody has the luxury of grandparents or whatever, places where you can just put them in.
It's a very long summer here. Like you said, there's really nowhere to send them. In Canada, if your parents could afford it, you could go to day camp, or you could go to overnight mm-hmm. camp. Really don't have that option here. So I just go to the beach a lot.
Right.
Yeah. And just, you know, make the play dates. And I know it sounds silly when she's now 16, 17, but yeah, she's not quite
then,
driving
like 10
yet.
Years ago or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was like, you know, I'll drive you to the mall so you guys can catch a movie. But yeah, we're in Canada. There's always something to do in summer. It caters for the kids in summer. Like you said, but they've got the areas here. It's like I said, you can't send the kid into the outback for
right.
I mean, you could. They're just not going to like it.
And who knows if they come back alive?
They'll come back with an accent I can't understand.
Do you ever get used to all the poisonous and dangerous animals, though?
I've been really lucky. I've come across a redback spider.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They're not too bad because they're tiny. You can just kill that. I've seen a funnel web, which kind of freaked me out. I've seen red belly black snake, but that's about it.
Yeah.
But it was
okay. But that's enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I saw the red belly black snake, I think he was busy killing himself anyway, because I saw it. He was crawling into a Jim Beam and cola can. I just saw half of it, but he was still, I don't know if he was wiggling to get out, but I couldn't help him because he's a dangerous snake.
No, kind of, you would just get bitten in the process.
Yeah. And with it being so hot today, 38, if you've got a pool, you need to be really careful because they'll come out now looking for the water as they get hot.
Do they even go in the pools?
They'll go out and try and get the water off the deck. Yeah, try and cool themselves off in the water.
Yeah, because I always thought snakes don't go in anything with chlorine in it.
No, but they'll still try and get cool off the water as it hits the pavement and hits the grass. But no, Australia's got sea snakes. So yes, we do have snakes in the water here. But yeah, there's eastern browns always laying in the bush by my local beach, Barubi Beach. Yeah, but they're just trying to cool down with the ocean breeze. But so I've never been bitten. Luckily.
Good. But you're always at the lookout.
Do you come across a big huntsman when you were here? A big furry?
Yes. Actually, I have a nice story. My brother's friend, she also moved to Australia. And I visited her in her apartment. I remember she went in the shower and then all of a sudden she was just screaming, "Oh my God!" There's the babies from the huntsman spiders. They just came out all at once, like thousands out of the air vent and in the ceiling.
Oh.
So just like whatever. The whole ceiling was just crawling with little spiders.
Oh, no. Yeah, that would be enough for me.
But I mean, they're harmless, right?
Exactly.
They don't bite.
Again, if I had one in the house, I'd let them hang out, you know, because again, they're harmless. But I'm afraid of the ones you hear about where like there's been instances where somebody puts their sun visor down and then a huntsman falls on their lap. That would freak me out.
Right.
Just the sheer surprise of it, because you know they're not. Yeah, they're okay. They won't hurt you. But geez, they're big and scary.
They're big. Yeah.
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 So,
and what do you think is worse, the snakes or the spiders?
I'm gonna say snakes, because I'd like to think with the spiders I can see them coming.
Running
across the pavement or across the wall. But if I'm going through the grass or something like that and there's a snake, I could walk across my backyard and not know if there's an eastern brown just hanging out, or a carpet python, you know. Which again, carpet pythons are okay. Again, scary looking, but they're harmless.
Great. Well, we have snakes sometimes. I don't mow the lawn anymore because I had it multiple times that when I did, that there were snakes just like running away or like hissing away. I'm like, no, there's snakes everywhere. I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. And also, I'm just afraid of going through the grass.
Yeah.
When it's just a little bit higher, not even like knee high or anything, but just like, whatever, that you don't
see obscure
enough.
Your view.
Mm-hmm.
Enough to obscure
I'm like
the
just
view.
Like stomping because I just want them to notice that I'm coming. I mean, I think about it all the time.
If I'm driving home at night, like I said, because I'm in a bit of a rural area, I'll honk my horn just because I don't want to hit a roo. So I'm just you know, every 10 Ks or something, I'll just beep, beep. If I'm not around any houses, because I'm thinking, if you guys are there, I know if I hit a room, my little barina, that's it. The room will be.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll just beep my horn.
How big are they where you are?
Oh, they're, well, yeah, I'm about 5'9". They can probably get as tall as me.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And are they going into the neighborhoods too?
Yes. There has been, it's just because of all the development that we're doing. I've literally seen them in a place called Nelson Bay. It's one of the suburbs in my area. Just hopping down through a roundabout, off he goes. There's a golf course in Nelson Bay. They live on the golf course.
Yeah, okay, so
tolerate the golfers.
Okay.
You know, because sure. They got, you know, great greens there and lots of shade. But yeah, when I was driving through Australia, I've just come across a camel. Just one.
Not, from, you know, Africa. I don't know from where.
Again, I look left, right, up, down, back. I don't know where this camel came from. I just let him go on his way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did it swim there?
Yeah. You don't want to arrive in Australia by boat. You'll end up on a detention or something. It's very strict here on immigration. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be the joke with my family. Come by plane, you come by boat. They're not going to let you in.
So is it serious, though? If you...
Yeah, well, yeah. You're either for it or you're against it. But coming in from Indonesia on a boat, they won't even let you in. You go to an island and just wait it out, detention.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That is like so early 20th century United States, kind of like.
They can be backwards here sometimes,
Yeah, you know, it's like funny because I always think of Australia as lots of sunshine, surfers, good atmosphere. But politics are very conservative.
And a lot of pubs didn't get ladies' rooms till like the 80s.
Oh, that's so late.
The pubs would just have, the pubs would just have one for the gentlemen.
Because you were not welcome.
Nope. Or they just weren't game. But yeah, like I said, they can be backwards in some cases. But we're making progress.
Great.
I hope.
Yeah.
I hope. I hope. Yeah, like you said, it's just, it's home for me now. You know, like I said, I miss Canada on you know, Christmas Day, Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. You know, I see Canadians posting stuff and like, oh, I remember doing that. But then I remember, you know, there's stuff I post here that they love to be doing. So
yeah. Is there any Canadian thing besides of your accent that you haven't lost?
My love of maple syrup. No, just a thing. I'll always be Canadian first. I'm actually wearing I am Canadian shirt. It's a beer shirt, but if you have to hyphenate me, you know, hyphenated Americans or Canadians, I am a Canadian Australian. It will never be Australian Canadian.
Okay.
Because I was born in Canada first. So, I live here and it's, you know, it's hard during the Olympics, I guess. I'll still cheer for Canada, even though Australia is kicking her ass. Yeah. Defend Canada, even though I'm still not there.
Okay.
They give me a hard time. I can get riled up about it. Mm-hmm. But yeah. So, like I said, it's always Canadian first, then Australian. Mm. Just very fortunate to have citizenships in two great countries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How was it in the beginning? How did you make friends?
I hung out with backpackers in the beginning. Yeah, King's Cross and stuff.
Yeah.
And So I actually started making friends. Well, when I came here, I was staying with a friend I met on a Kentucky tour. So she was local. She was Australian. So you start going to the local leagues club and stuff or the local bowling club.
What is that tour?
Kentucky.
Kentucky.
The tour is for 18 to 35-year-olds.
Oh.
It's big through Europe.
I don't know about it.
Kentucky's still going. But I was the only Canadian on the Kentucky tour, actually. But I did a 45-day Kentucky tour through Europe. And she was on that tour. So when I said, I'd like to come to Australia, no, you can come stay with us. So I went and stayed with her and her husband. And just made friends through that way. And then when I got my job at IKEA and when I had met Peter, it just grew. But it was always a big thing when I made a friend on my own. You know, didn't need Peter or anybody to make the introduction. So yeah.
Because I mean, it's probably always different when you're when you meet somebody there, like a significant other, than versus when you're there by yourself. And especially like he was a local, so you already had his friend circle.
And it can be hard to crack that here, being the outsider. So, but I did eventually. But and it's not just my experience. We have the Canadian Australian club here. So I have discussed with other other Canadians that relocated here.
They had the same problem.
They're very loyal. I'll give them that. But it can take a while for it to be accepted into a group here, which I would say in Canada would be different. Can be, sorry if we made you feel, left out.
I like you. You're coming. I wonder, since I only have the perspective as like a tourist there, and there are so many, I was just like, because they know everybody else is just going to be there for a short time. And so why bother?
Maybe. Yeah.
It's just the thought.
I could see that in Sydney, in your tourist hotspots. But if I'm, on the outskirts Sydney and
And you know, that person lives there already for a year in that house. She will probably stay there for another some time.
I think once I realized I was staying, like you said, it was a bit different, but they're just very loyal and some can be difficult to crack into it. Yeah. Into the group.
Okay. Yeah. What would you recommend to somebody who is thinking about moving to Australia?
Oh, wow. Just do it. Do your research. Make sure all your paperwork's in line, because they won't think twice about kicking you out if there's something wrong on your application. Just you never know unless you try. Nothing to be scared of. We don't bite down here. The animals do.
Don't be scared of animals.
That's right. Don't be scared of the wildlife. And just do it. But yeah, I'd say the exact same to an Australian wanting to go to Canada. Just do it. Go experience it. It might be for you. I love travel. So there's two of us in the family, and my brother and I don't live in Canada. He's in Saudi and I'm here. So
you're not even that far apart, kind of. If it comes to the size of the world, like, it's probably closer than Canada.
Yeah, but not by much, because we flew to Saudi last year and gone like, oh man, this is a bad flight. This is fine. It's just that leg out of Sydney to wherever your hub is. Sydney, Dubai, or Sydney, Vancouver or San Fran, whichever way you're going to go into. It's just that one long flight. But yeah, look, it's a long way to come, but it's worth the visit, and it's worth staying. That's what I tell people. I said, it's, 19-hour flight. That's why I never went home.
Exactly.
I'm not doing a 19-hour flight again, but Mackenzie and I are off to the UK in July. That's a full 24 hours in the air.
It is. Yeah. I wonder if the flights got any faster since the last 20 years since I was there.
I think they do Brisbane to Dallas, I think, direct now. So they're starting to push that envelope where they can go for about 18 hours. But I don't know. I prefer that stop. Like, I know Sydney to London to Heathrow, we're going to stop in Singapore for 2 hours. That's great. Sure. Fill it up. That's what I want you to do. I don't want you pulling in on fumes. That's the thing, though. I mean, I would go home to Canada and everybody's like, oh, I'd love to come visit you. It's so far. And you're like, but I just did the same distance to come see you. Like I got some secret wormhole that I can, take a shortcut.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's expensive. Well, it's expensive for us too, so.
And I mean, there's a lot to see.
There is.
I mean, it's so beautiful and so many sites. The nature is very unique.
It is very unique.
So it's definitely worth visiting for your friends from Canada to go to Australia.
You got a place to stay. I'm only 2 hours out of Sydney. So I did have friends come and stay in 2019. They were here for about 2.5 months. It was great having them here. So, and they did that. They just used my house as a base and they went up, to Queensland or went down to Sydney and
Yeah.
And they got out just before the COVID, thank God.
Oh, good.
They would have been locked here.
That was a little bit rougher because nobody was allowed in or out, right? No.
And apparently we had the toughest ones here because we're just, well, Melbourne was really bad, like Victoria, but yeah, we were locked down. You know, I couldn't go within 5Ks of my house and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So, but again, I was working from home, so nothing changed. Been doing it for 13 years, you know?
Except of when you went outside, there was probably nobody there.
Traffic was great back then.
Sounds like you want to wish for
it.
No. Knock on wood.
Only if I have a long drive. So, you know, if I ever go to Sydney, just lock them down for 3 hours while I'm driving.
I hope I didn't jinx it. So we're coming to an end. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for the questions. Yeah. Maybe.
Good.
Thanksgiving
Christmas. I was like, oh my God, like I'm asking all these questions and they're like 26 years ago.
Some now though, some now, but yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would tell my 52 now, so I'd still tell my 20-year-old self to do it. It's up with that. Yeah.
To come I remember that too. When I went there, I was 19 and like everybody said, aren't you afraid of all the animals? That was like the only question I got. And I was like, well, I'm in the city. So, I mean, the chances are pretty low. Yeah. But I was never comfortable going in the water.
Yeah. Uh-oh. I'm the same. Yep. I hear you on that one. Yes, there's your shark. There's your stingrays. There's the blue ring octopus, stonefish.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's more things in the water that can kill you or do some serious damage than on land. But I'm with you. I've never been a strong ocean swimmer. Being Canadian, I'm a strong lake swimmer and strong pool swimmer. So yeah, I very rarely go to the beach. I'll go to the pool because I can see the bottom.
Yeah, exactly. Because you see the bottom and you see what's underneath you. Yeah.
Or if you do go to the beach, you just don't go further than the furthest person.
Well, that's even like too far.
So, and like my beach, Berube Beach, is actually a breeding ground for great whites. So just a further bit up, we've got a lot of juvenile great whites.
Are juveniles more dangerous because they don't know?
I'd say not. No, because there hasn't been an attack on Berube Beach in a while. Nelson Bay, like I said, the other suburb in my area, there was one. It was in the past 10 years. She survived. But
think about the nightmares.
Oh. I'd love to go to South Australia and Port Lincoln and do the cage dive with great whites. But then here's where your locals come in and say, yeah, just go to Berube. It's like without the cage. You know? I mean, and I got certified for scuba diving down here and I had to do a night dive and I was petrified to qualify. That you got your light and everything. Right. It's in Sydney Harbor, but still sharks are in the harbor as well. But yeah, I don't, if I do dive, it's
and
always.
And they hunt at that time, right?
Exactly. I still dive at times, but yeah, no, I don't like boat dives where I'm going, you know, you got to follow the anchor line down. You can't see what's at the bottom until you get there. And yeah, no. Bit of a
I understand. But I mean, but you can still enjoy the beaches from the view.
That's right. That's right. I mean, you still go in and splash yourself off without having to, you know, you find the rock pools if the tide's right. You just sit in those and cool down. But yeah.
Right. You have them. Yes.
Yeah. But if
they are very pretty. Yes.
They are. As long as there's no blue ring octopus in them now. But,
Everything.
So I should really tell everybody I haven't left my house in 26 years because I'm so scared.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're one of those. Okay.
Let me say, when I drove from Anna Bay all the way up to Darwin, that's going right up the center, I only saw a camel and some of the big vultures just, you know, getting the roadkill. Mm-hmm. And when I was in Darwin, I actually did the croc dive, where it's like they just put you in like a little Tupperware bowl and lower you into the croc tank. It's acrylic. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You get to see the crocs.
But that's But that's also
insane. It was great. Yeah. I think my guy's name was Leo when he was like huge. But yeah.
Yeah. I remember when I was there, we did like a whole like drive around the whole country. when I was in Darwin, there was a person swimming on the beach, and I was thinking the whole time, am I witnessing now a crocodile attack? It's like, why are you going swimming there? It's like, are you stupid?
Oh, when I was in Darwin, I didn't swim. I think I went to the wave pool that they got in the center of town. Not sure if they had that when you were there, but no. And then there's some, as you know, in Sydney beaches, they've got the nets, which again is another argument, right, you know, for animals. But again, I don't trust the nets. Mm. If they want in, they're getting in, you know.
All right, enough shark talk.
Yes, exactly. But no, we've got koalas, we've got the kangaroos, you know, we've, you know, the kookaburras, and yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we've got great wildlife here that won't kill you.
You got wombats?
Yeah, I've never seen one in the wild, but yes, yes. Yep, I see them at the, you know, the animal parks, but plenty of koalas where I live, and roos.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
sweet.
Yeah.
So. All right, that sounds good. Okay. Yes. Okay, let's leave it.
Okay.
Like that. Okay. All right, thank you so much for your time.
And thank you, and have a good weekend.
Thank you, you too. That was Deanna's story, everyone. 26 years in Australia and counting. In Anna Bay, and I just googled it. It looks gorgeous. The beach is absolutely beautiful, and I think you can do camelback riding there. At least that's what it looks like on the pictures. But talking about what I mentioned earlier about the driving on the other side. So I found this newspaper article from the National Geographic, and it says that 75% of countries drive on the right side of the road. And it goes back like centuries. And so a big factor is that most people are right-handed. And so they could whip their horse with the left, but hold a shield with the stronger hand on the right. So just in case there would be an opponent, they could like be safe. And then later, when it comes to cars, in the beginning, there wasn't really like roads like we know them now. So people just drove wherever they wanted, like in the middle of the road. And then later, when Henry Ford designed the Model T, he put the steering wheel on the left. So then it made driving on the right more accessible because the passenger could easily access to the curbside. And then just many other countries followed that example. So, and then later the National Geographic writes that the main reason why not all countries followed is stubbornness. So not really stubbornness, but it's like 50 countries still drive on the left, and that's like the momentum is a reason for this. And it's just too big of a change for big cities because they're designed in that way. You can read more about this. I put the link for the article in the show notes so you can just read the whole thing. Yeah, and that was my short conclusion about this. So coming to an end, thank you for listening to this episode. And if you enjoyed this podcast, then please leave it a 5-star review wherever you listen to podcasts. And thank you for the music, Serge Quarando. I always forget to mention it. I found this on Pixabay and it's a wonderful song. Thank you. If you want to be a guest on my show, then email me at worldscollide123pod@gmail.com or send me a quick text on Instagram. It's worldscollidepod. I can also be found on Threads and on TikTok, where it's Worlds Collide Pod as well. I think Threads is Worlds Collide Podcast. Oh, I said it too many times now. Yeah, but that was it from me. And I will see you next time. Bye.